Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for watching over us. Thank you for your faithfulness, O Lord, in keeping your word to the saints of yours, Father. And as we walk with you, Father, we know you watch over us and you guide us and lead us into your truth, into a life that is sanctified, a life that is pleasing unto you. As we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let our hearts be filled with joy every day, Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in order to have that again, Father, we know the importance of thy word. It is that word of yours that strengthens us in our walk today in this world of darkness. So, Father, right now we ask that again you bless us as we look into thy word. May you feed us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue with our serpent seed. We have finished with the Old Testament. Now we want to go into the New Testament. And again, there are things that we thought we know, but the more that we study, it seems that the word of the Lord is open up more and more. Alright, now before we go into the New Testament, just a recap very quickly about the fall. If there is no fall, then we will not know about grace of God. We do not know about what is mercy truly. We do not know about what is true love. And all the things that we have learned, we will never know those things. It is the other side of the coin that is shown to us, then we can see the flip side of the coin. If we don't know what is darkness, we do not know what is light. If we don't know what is black, we do not know what is white. And that's the reason why, because of what God is, He wants a people. He wants a people that love Him the way they should. And it is this that God gives Adam a choice. And if we are not believers today, well, I have, a half-brother who, well, half-sister in Israel, they are also half-sister. None of them, three half-sister and one half-brother, none of them believe in the Lord. And my half-brother, when you talk about, I share with him the gospel, he said, well, religion is religion. I don't know which is true or what is true. But God, well, whatever, if there is, let him be, whatever he may be, And so he's just brushing aside, not wanting to know about the Lord. And I ask him, I said, where do you come from? Do you think you come from? Where do you think he's going? He said, well, I don't know. I just leave it. Oh, just like an ostrich buried his head in the sand. Because you don't seek to know where you come from, who you are. That means you behave like an animal. Like an animal, I'm born and I die. But we have intelligence that animals do not have. You agree with that? Sure, dog has intelligence, but is the intelligence of the dog compared to mankind? No. There is the intelligence of a dolphin, the intelligence religion of a chimpanzee or gorilla. Sure. And even the ants have certain intelligence that they can build a house, they live as a social, being, creatures. And even the soldier will fight and sacrifice their life. Right. And worker ants go and do the work to feed the queen so that they can expand their population. Well, that's intelligent, because each of them have a certain assignment to do. But you might say it is instinct. Sure, I have instinct. My instinct is Where do I come from? I have instinct to realize that there's something beyond this. I want to seek my Creator. So, that's the thing about it, that God has given us this free choice. And it's this choice that you choose. And God never forced it on you. But unfortunately, of course, to us, we will think it's an unfortunate event. But it is. All things works together for good to them that love the Lord. Even before we were born, God had already allowed things to happen. Because He wants a people for His name's sake. He wants a family. And He doesn't want a family of robots or want a family who are fearful of Him as if He is a horrible father. You know how sometimes father abuse children, right? Yeah. So He is not a kind. He's one of love. And He wants you to say, whosoever will come to me. He does not force you. So He allowed the fall to come, and it was in this fall where the serpent seduced Eve and causes this seed of discrepancies to be born. And there was Cain. And you know how that Cain showed his attributes. And the Bible is clear on this fact. And it is because of this revelation that we have about the serpent seed that we understand the need for Jesus Christ to shed blood. God, as God says, let everything bring for his own kind. And also in judgment, it says that an eye for an eye, a life for a life, an arm for an arm. Right? And therefore, blood for blood. You see. So if it's blood was shed, that means it shows that the fall involves the blood. No doubt about it. And we see Cain's attribute of killing his own half brother. And also lying to the Lord God. And he showed his temple. And yet, the character in the Bible that was shown to us, the system, the tradition still say, no, Cain was a son of Adam. Now, many times I wonder why God allow us to see what we see. And yet, those out there in the churches, why they fail to see. And now they begin to see and understand that because they are in darkness, they are in tradition. And when you hold on to tradition, you will never move forward as God moves. Right? You will never be able to see the truth. And then I wonder also, today, for example, we have in China, there is a great revival of the gospel. Many Chinese out there turn to the gospel. In villages, in a home, and certain place, of course, you know, they cannot do it openly or they'll be arrested. You see. So now I wonder lately, so these people that came to this gospel in this particular last period of time when Christ's coming is so close, what about them? They do not know what we have. They do not have what we have. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, how would God deal with them? So the simple thing is this. When God tells you to follow Him, like He told Peter, don't be like Peter, say, what about these others? God will know how to deal with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean all these Chinese out there in China, they just embrace the gospel who don't have the revelation of what we have today. And some of these Brahma might say, oh, they need to know God sent a prophet. No, they don't need to say. They don't need that. God will know how to deal with it. If God wants to send them a revelation, and they want them, if God wants them to know the prophet, God will know how to deal with it. But the thing is that when God sent a prophet with a message to us, what do we do with the message? That is the thing. If they do not know about water baptism, because the important thing they need is the gospel now. Because they live in an antichrist country. They live in a country that is communism.
Just like in the days of the Dark Age. Huh? Remember? The people were bound by Catholicism. The seed of the serpent doctrine has, you know, covered the whole areas of the Roman Catholic Empire. And people were buying and selling religion. Indulgences. They bought indulgences. They paid money for having a priest pray them out. Maybe of the father, or maybe they probably give them money, say, in case I die now, you pay me out of, pray me out of purgatory. They do the confession and the mass. They were under a trap. They were under darkness. That Mary is the mother of God, and what over there in China? Oh, you know how Xi Jinping and all this. People say this is Zhongguo, this is China. We don't want religion. We hold on to atheism. And that's what happened in the days of Mao Zedong. China became communist. Religion was forbidden. You are under subjugation by this kind of a spirit. So now the gospel went in and the Chinese are embracing it, and even they were fearing for their life being, they'll be arrested if they were caught believing in this thing. You're saying. And recently, Vatican wanted to control the bishop and the churches there, the characters there. And the Chinese would not allow them. You see. So what the day of the Dark Ages in the day of the Dark Age of the Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Empire, when what they need at that time, when God sent them a message, just one, and that is the judge shall live by faith. Right? That's what they need. They love this person, God will teach them and guide them. And you've got a foolish Branham over trying to dumb all this end time message of everything about Brother Branham, is don't worry about that. And that's what the message that you have today. You got the message of what Brother Branham said, come out of the system, come back to the Word. So now get into the Word. Not still hold on to what Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, and not coming back to the Word. You have heard the message. You heard what Brother Branham said. Then get into the Word and move on with God. Don't let the slides of manipulations of these crafty men who happen to be used by Satan to hold you from moving forward in God. When you don't have an answer to a question, don't think, okay, let me go see what Abraham said. You will not find the answer there. You will find the answer in this book, in the Word of God. That's true. There are many things that Brother Branham do not have an answer for you. The Branham my foolishness that you hold on to, they believe it. No. We need to move forward with God. And that's the reason why, what is that to you about the others? Huh? Your business is to follow Christ. Live your life with Christ as a Christian and then share your faith with all those around. And what God, who God will lead you to. That's your job and my job. You know. Like one pastor over in Tucson said, Brother Ken, why don't you go to China? I said, well, God didn't send me to China. If that's about the money that you're worried about, we will send you. Wow. So who is the one, who is my boss? Huh? The man upstairs or the man down on this earth from a church? The church is sending to China. That's a problem, you see. You understand what I'm saying? My Savior is a carpenter. You don't know that. Is that right? Yeah. You see, always the song said the man upstairs that came down, be a carpenter, he died for you and me. That's my Savior. The Lord God Almighty in human flesh. To identify with your passion and my passion. And not only just become Lord and Savior to us, but He is also our brother. What can you ask for? Huh? Even though He is a king, He is God, He is my brother. Amazing. So, in understanding the fall, what it happened, that choice that God has given us. And I want to look at the book of Genesis now and see about the promise concerning the seed. In Genesis, I want to recap a little and bring up something in case that you forgot about it. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, the judgment came. And this is what God said to verse 40 to the serpent. Chapter 3, verse 40. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat, and all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, here we're talking about the word seed. The Lord said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Now, the serpent was not a snake. It was an upright creature. Human, looked like. But was not created in the image of God. And of course, the denominator find hard to understand this. Why it finds so hard to understand is because they're held down by tradition. And do you know something? In the 1980s, I believe, China scientists have tried to inbreed and a hybrid man and gorilla together. It was in the news. They want to create a creature that is that have the strength of a gorilla and the intelligence of a man. But they could never do it. Because the affinity between the seeds are too far apart. You understand what I mean by too far apart? But you can, for example, we take animal, because the missing link is gone. That missing link between man and animal was the serpent. Right? Was stripped off of his limbs, hands and legs, and put on to crawl on the ground. And that's why he was called all the snakes today. We call them snakes, yeah. But sometimes, that's a serpent. I mean, in ancient times, you used to call it serpent rather than snake. You see, why is it called a serpent in the Hebrew word? The Hebrew word is sarap, and also nakash, hiss. You see, if you look at a snake, you sometimes look at it, you're mesmerized by the snake's behavior, huh? You understand, you have that feeling of awe, and yet you hate that. How many of you have ever hold a snake in your hand? Huh? You have. It feels cold and slimy, you know? And yeah, when you see the snake move, you know, and it stands up, it looks so, you know, mesmerizing. You know, you say, nice, but you also at the same time abhor it. You see, and so when you use the word serpent, it means very fiery, very looking, slimy. So that's what his brother John Dolan, when he was in America in the Huntington Penitentiary, because he was a criminal, as they accused him, but for killing his girlfriend, but it wasn't true. Somebody framed him up. Even DNA, after so many years, the DNA was not his, and yet they still put him there because there was a conspiracy against him. But it was in prison that he found the truth and corresponded with me over the years, and then he said one day that he had this dream in a forest while walking, and he saw this creature. He said, oh my, I said, Brother God, I saw this creature in dream. It was so shimmering, so nice looking creature, handsome looking. And I said, my goodness, this is the kind of animal. This is an animal all the zoo in the world would want to have him, to display him. And then I woke up from the dream, and I was wondering what kind of animal that was. You know, you say it was Mary, and the Lord told him, that's the serpent. You know, so the serpent must be a very nice creature. Do you know why? He said his skin was shimmering, nice, reflecting. You know why the bodybuilder, when they go for exhibition, they put oils on their body? So they could show all that, you know, reflection of the light with the oil, you know, look very nice, huh? Correct. Why do women, when they put on their face or clean up their face with oil and oily faces, you can see the light shines and the things like that. If your face is dry, it looks terrible. I think you all know about it, right? When it's dry face, your face is like cracked up or something like that. When you put some moisturizer, at least it looks better. Yeah. So perhaps that's what it is, and that's what even the serpent and the snake have a shining skin. You know. So when God said, I put enmity between you and her. Now that enmity has always been there. Okay? And there was a between thy seed and her seed. Now I want you to say, remember this. He's talking about seed. Right? Talking about seed. And I want you to go through the book of Job, chapter 40. You see? Now I want you to remember that God said to the serpent, between thy seed and her seed, not thy seed and Adam's seed. Now do you get what I'm saying? It's not about Adam's seed. Between thy seed and her seed. So now you're talking about something else now. The word her seed, her seed, her seed. So it's the seed of the woman. But in the Bible you will not be able to find the seed of the woman as a phrase by itself. You don't find it. Neither will you find the seed of Mary. No, you won't find. Huh? So what do you mean by her seed? Specifically, the word her seed is pointing not to Adam, descendant. Not anything to do with the seed of mankind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now you know that Jesus Christ was not born physically from the seed of Mary, or the egg of Mary, and the seed of Joseph, right? You know that. Jesus Christ was virgin born, he was created by God with the sperm and the egg infused and then planted into the womb of Mary. Has nothing to do with the egg of Mary, has nothing to do with the sperm of Mary, of Adam. Because why? They are corrupt. You don't know what I'm saying by corrupt? If Jesus came from Joseph, or even have a part of the egg of Mary, the body is already tend to be sin. It must be a new creation. Do you understand? Jesus Christ must be a new creation. Just as Adam was created by God. Do you see? So it's between your seed and her seed, not between your seed and Adam's seed. No. So now if you look at Job chapter 14 verse 1. Can brother Henry please read that? There are three verses I want you to read. Job chapter 14 verse 1.
Job chapter 14 verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble.
Chapter 15, verse 14. Chapter 15, verse 14.
What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous?
25, verse 4. Chapter 25, verse 4.
How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman?
Well, you can see, born of a woman, not the seed of a woman. Now, to be born a woman is different from, say, her seed, the seed of a woman. Every one of us are born of a woman. Yes. Who is not born of a woman? Every one of us came to this world born of a woman. So when we're born of a woman, that is to say that we are part of that corrupt line that came all the way with the mixture of the seed. And we all came not from Adam. We did not come from Seth's line. We came from Noah's lineage. We cannot call ourselves the Adamic kind. Actually, we can't, never. But you have been hearing that we are Adamic kind. No, we are not Adamic kind. All the Adamic kind ends with Noah. And that's why we can't even be called Sethic people. No, we can't. Right? Because Noah was the last of the pure Sethite. And the three sons were mixed because Noah married Naamah, who was a Kenite. So we came from what we can call Noah kind. You see? So, do you understand? So, all that is born of a woman will all come. So if you are born of a woman, our life is short, as the Bible said. If you are born a woman, how can we be righteous? We can't. So we need to be born of a man. How many of you are born of a man? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. You need to be born of a man. And who is that man? Jesus Christ. We are born again of the spirit of the man called Jesus. He's the one that gave us his spirit. He said, I lay down my life. Now, unless the grain of wheat dies, it will not bring forth much fruit. Right? I lay down my life, I'm able to take it out. So he died on Passover day, resurrected on the feast of the first fruit, and he came back on the day of Pentecost to give that life of his for you and me. So more men is born a woman is full of woes and sorrow. And we need to be born again of a man. The Bible is specifically talking about born of a woman, not the seed of a woman. We are not the seed of a woman. We are not the seed of our mother. We are the seed of our father. That's the one that someone said, the Lord said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and her, between thy seed and her seed. Do you understand that? Yeah. So that is different. So that to say that her seed refers to more than just Abel. No. Its specific point is something in the future. Do you understand? Yeah. You see. So, in part, we can say, yes, her seed there was Abel, because what belongs to her belongs to Adam as well. What belongs to Adam belongs to her. That we know Abel was the seed of Adam through Eve. But her seed points to a specifically someone who is born of a woman who had nothing to do with the man. And that's why Isaiah later on said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Right? Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A man cannot conceive, only a woman can conceive. But how is a woman to conceive if there's no sperma? Huh? Do you understand? The Bible actually used two different words, huh? Sperma is for man, seed is for woman, also one kind. And if you look at the Hebrew word, you see. So how can a woman give up to a child if she does not know man? That's you know what, when Mary conceived, was conceived with a child. Joseph was shocked, of course. I said, that's not possible. Medical science tells us, right, you need a sperm and an egg, you need a man and a woman. So how did Mary get pregnant? She must be playing the fool. So I'm going to put her away quietly, privately.
But the angel of the Lord told her, told him, that which was in her was of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand this? So that's what her seed is pointing to, a virgin woman. Now just imagine at that time when those young ladies would go to the synagogue and heard the rabbi read the book of Isaiah. And maybe these few young ladies, single, not married, they are very religious, they love Yahweh, and say, oh, maybe I'm the one. A virgin shall conceive, right? Wouldn't it be a privilege for you as a woman to carry the Savior? I don't know where that goes through Mary's mind. You know, was a young girl at that time, of course. Maybe she was thinking. Maybe not, I don't know. But it certainly was a shock to find one day, oh, her period stopped. Right. You know. And the angel had told her about it. You see. So God has a way with dealing a people. Now if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. We talk about the seed of a woman. So now Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. You can see here again the usage of the word. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Again, you see the word her seed. The word her seed only appeared, I think, twice, I think. Her seed. So when we read this chapter 12, what is chapter 12 dealing with? It is dealing with the nation of Israel. Right? And so the Antichrist, the dragon, the serpent, went after the remnant of her seed. So now you have an understanding that in Genesis, when God said to the serpent, put any between thy seed and her seed, you realize that her seed should come through if a nation, Israel. Israel was God's chosen. In fact, the Bible called her the bride or the wife of God. You know, Israel was espoused to God. You see. So it was considered the woman. And it was through Israel that Jesus came. Right? And so what are we talking about right here in Revelation chapter 12? We're talking about the spiritual people, a people of God. So there was a sister was asking me a question. And this question is quite common among those who find hard to accept that there will be a people that will be taken up in the rapture and some left behind. Now, we are just like my Presbyterian friend. You know, one would, I will share with him about how that we need to line up with the Word of God and make ourselves ready for the rapture. Or then he said, are you telling me that all those who do not have the revelation that you have and not move forward with God, they're going to be left behind? Are you telling me that Jesus will leave a part of his body behind? You know what I mean? The reasoning is there. Right? How could Christ leave part of his body behind to suffer in the tribulation? Now, when we read the Bible, the church is called what? In the Greek word, what is the word church called? Ecclesiastes, the call out. Right? So, a church is just a call out. You are the church, right here. We're called a church, right? Besides, we are called a church, what are we called? We are called the body of Christ. Besides that, we are called God's family, God's household. Right? Besides that, what are we called? The bride of Christ. Besides that, what are we called? The word of Christ. What else are we called? We are called the sanctified. We are called the saints. What else are we called? Huh? There are names that were given to us. We are called the disciples. We are people of the way. There are many names attached to what we are. But each name or each title name are related to something. Got it?
Now we are the church. We are the call out. That's what means that we are called out from the now, called out from the world into the truth. And then we are the Father's house. Yes? Yeah. But you see, when we talk about the rapture, preparing for the rapture, we notice that in the book of Revelation, in the second last chapter, now chapter 19, the Bible said the wife had made herself ready. But suddenly all the members of the household of God are not necessarily the wife. You understand what I'm saying? You see? That means when to be called a bride or to be called wife, you must have a relationship with the one whom you love. What about Matthew chapter 7? Verse 21, 22, 23. Many shall come to me in the last day, saying to me, Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name, I cast out devil in your name, heal the sick, right? And do many mighty, wonderful work. Jesus said, I never knew you. In what sense? And what about the foolish virgin? Remember the all virgins. Ten virgin, five wife, five foolish. And to the foolish, he said, I never knew you. Did he really never know them? Or did he never really know them intimately? That is a different story. In the family, well, in a natural family, if a father has 1,000 children, there are some children, they might be renegades, they might be, you know, black sheep in the family, no obedience to the father. Look at the disciple of Jesus. Just think about it. They are all his disciples. And yet one of them was a devil. One of them was a doctor. Right? Yeah. You see? But they are out of the 12. Three of them were very special. That they were given this privilege of seeing Christ's transfiguration. And yet Jesus told them, when you go down, don't tell anybody about the vision. That's not fair. That's why people don't understand that God has there's favoritism in God. Oh, somebody will caught me in the Bible verse. No, there's God has no respecter of person. I know God has no respecter of person. That's regarding if you ask him for give, he'll give you. Right? You ask him to guide you, he will. If you want healing, he will give you. There's no respect to a person. Salvation is freely given to anyone. But your relationship with God is different. What did God call King David? He's the apple of my eye. Right? Yeah. You see? Why did God, Jesus Christ, choose the others? Maybe he actually should choose Thomas. After all, he's so full of doubt. But of all the 12 disciples, Jesus knew every one of them. You know. He only chose those who are willing to walk close with him. You cannot get blessing from God if you are not going to walk close. So, hey, brother God, how come you are full of blessing? But I don't get it. My question is to you, why didn't you get it? You should ask yourself a question, not me. Why didn't you get the blessing? Think about it. It's your relationship with the Father, relationship with the Savior. You see. So, if the three of them up there saw a transfiguration, the rest did not see it, well, it's because it was God's choice to choose them. And because of the way they walk with Christ. Same thing, the wise virgin enter into the marriage. The foolish are still out there looking for oil. Until the door is closed, they're left out. So they go out there. And to have what the Bible said, their robe washed again. Because they are tinted. Their robes are wrinkled. They are not careful in living the life. Well, that's, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's very easy wanting to go to heaven. It's so easy that some people find it so difficult to understand. Those people who do not believe God, what do you mean so easy to enter into heaven just believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, yeah, it's easy, but that's the beginning of the journey. Huh? Everybody wants free gifts. Well, actually not free. Gifts are already free. Everybody wants free things. They want gifts. What do you do with the gift? I mean, you want gift, what do you do with the gift? Sometimes when you get a gift, you don't quite like it. To you, it might be a problem, a nuisance. So you just put it in a storeroom and you don't even, you know, you make use of it. Huh? That's the reason why, you know, why we send our book out freely. But to those, you know, we don't send out anymore to the first world because we have a website where you can download the PDF file and then print it out. But for those who want it, we tell them, because of high cost postage, just pay for the postage. That'd be good enough. You don't even have to pay for the cost of the book. At least because of that, they treasure it. See? When you get free things, sometimes you don't think much about it. But when you have something that you pay for it, it's different. If I give you a Bible, how many people really treasure it? Huh? But when you save your money and buy it, you will treasure it. It's very different. Huh. So now, when we look at this word, her seed, now you understand, huh? Has nothing to do with the man. It has something to do with God's supernatural act. Even in choosing Israel was his supernatural act. And Israel was Christ or God's beloved. And then he planted them and turned to us, right? And it was from the seed of the woman to Israel that Christ was born. And anybody who associates with Christ as the Messiah, we are the seed of the woman. Do you see that? We are the seed of the woman. Alright. Let us so Jesus being born of a woman. And I said this, we know that Jesus was born not of a sexual act between Joseph and Mary. So what was it? What was Jesus then? He was the seed word. Remember, as God told the serpent, I will in between thy seed and her seed. So this her seed is an act of God. Has nothing to do with the act of man or woman. It was an act of God. And what is that act? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made manifest in the flesh. So Jesus Christ was actually the seed Word of God that God began to bring forth into the world. As, well, you know, we put a seed onto the ground and it grows up to a plant. But we don't see the seed yet. Correct? So, God planted His seed into the woman Mary. But how did He do it? It's all by spoken word. Right? You understand? Of course, we have to make come to this knowledge that God must have fused a sperm and an egg together. That is scientific understanding. Correct? Yes? Alright, we look at Adam. When the Bible said, let us make man, when God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So when God created Adam. Now, how did He create Adam? Adam was a spirit. So how did He create Adam? He just speak the word. Yes? Correct. So what he wanted, he created a body to house this word, which was Adam, because he was the seed of God, right? If God is word, Adam must be word. We understand what I'm saying. If God is spirit, Adam must be spirit. That's like father, like son. But now God wanted to show the soul, the manifestation of the spirit that was Adam in a visible world. So he created a body. Now, do you think that God have to go like we will do sculpture, sculpture? Correct? Or a child by the seaside playing, building sandcastle. Do you think God gathered them and shaped the face of Adam and, you know, bring the dust together and shape the hand? Do you think he did that? Obviously, no. It's all by spoken word, spoken word, spoken word. Do you understand what I'm saying, All God has to do is to speak, speak, speak. Let there be light. And there was light. Do you all understand the concept? All God has to do is come with knows in his counsel what the light would be like. And he just let there be light and the light came. Let there be grass. Let there be tree. Let there be mango. He just picked the word because in his mind he already knew what a mango should be. Is that right? Like if you want to design something, you first counsel with yourself, right? How your house should look like, how you want to build it. But of course, you cannot speak it out. You have to go to get one and meet it, and then you build it. But God is omnipotent. So you just speak the word, and it came forth. So the same thing, that is how Adam was created. So now the same thing when Jesus was to have a body. When the Word was to have a body, he already began to express himself. And he speak the Word. Let there be a conception in Mary, in this virgin woman. And the conception takes place. Right? You don't have to imagine, create a sperm, create an egg, and fuse it and plant it. That was just an expression. But all you have to do is to speak the word. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so the body began to form in the woman Mary, and Jesus Christ, a baby, was born. But there wasn't God. It was just a house that God prepared. And as the child grew until the age of 30, that's when the seed word then put into it in full. Every part of God's move is part of his thoughts, is part of his expression. In the beginning was the word, Miss Logos. This is the beginning of God's bringing out things. You know, so when you get a seed that goes down you into the earth, and then it comes out, a sapling, tassels, and all this coming out, you don't see the seed. Right? But these are all part of the seed that went in. So God has only one seed, so to speak, monogene. So he planted in all these other things that comes out. It is just part of the whole thing. Until the end of it, when it matured, then you see the fruit. Got it? Yes. So Jesus grew up until he was man 30 years old. Then the Spirit of God went down and it came down into him. And then he went out and he manifested. And as John said, we beheld his glory. The glory of the Messiah, the glory of the begotten of God. Then we went to see. So if you want to plant something, like Brother Jimmy, he planted, I don't know what he's planting. Whatever fruit he's planting, as a beginning with a seed, I said, of course, unless it macaque, a plant, from somewhere he put in. But if it was a seed, he put it there, he see a shoot coming out, you cannot see the fruit yet. It takes time for the fruit to come forth. And then when the fruit comes, then you say, now I have it. And that's how God operates. How God brought forth Jesus Christ into the world. Alright, and so only on the day of Christ's baptism, then the Lord Jesus became God and man. Now that the Holy Spirit is in him, tabernacle in him to manifest God. But yet, Jesus has his own will. He can do whatever he likes. He want to get married. He can. Actually, yes. You know. But you know, his mission was not to get married. His mission was to fulfill the will of the Father. Unlike Lucifer. Now his mission was to control and to run the earth then in those year era that he was in. But he was not happy with running with the dinosaur. Huh? And to deal with all this early man, whatever the age we call it, the prehistory of that era. I mean, today, you know, when Jurassic Park, Steven Spielberg came out with Jurassic Park, it's amazing to see all those creatures, you know, coming to life like real, huh? And we are taken up very much with a dinosaur, wow, T-Rex, Argosaurus, huh? Pterodactyl, you know, all this. We were amazed by that. And my wife used to say, you know, I would love to see those animals back in the millennium. You know, I mean, look at those huge animals, huh? Nice. But today, after a while, you know, you get tired of dinosaur. Now it's special. Now it's different. Now it's what? Now, the robot, the Star Wars, the Jedi, hey, BB, and CDPO, or whatever. You know, people are fascinated with it. And after a while, that's all. Right? So, you see, because our attention span may be very short-lived. And I do not know, I think Lucifer might get a little bit tired of it. For after how many years having to be, you know, be on earth with the other angels to take care of the earth. I mean, God was testing them anyway. They have a free choice. You know, I want to wonder what, if we don't have, if we think, I mean, the angel, they don't have the experience that we experience right now as being saved from sin. Right? Even though they have free choice, they were not in sin first. They don't need salvation because they were tested to see whether they're obedient or they are disobedient. Right? But for us, because we were in sin, and we realized we need a Savior, and being saved from sin, we realized, wow, we have a Father that loves us, and our special relationship with God, and we want to keep our walk with the Lord. Correct? And so in the millennium, our body is changed, our spiritual body. Then you find that all that is up in our mind, in the spirit, will be the mind of Christ. Right? We will have an idea of going back to what Christ has done for us and so on. But the angel, they don't have that experience. So perhaps after a while, Lucifer got tired of playing with the dinosaur. You know, I said, I want to be like God. So let me build up someplace high to be worshipped. After all, I'm the alpha angel. You know? It's a big guy. So, as I said this, after the millennium, the great white throne judgment, the new heaven, new earth. Correct? And what goes beyond the new heaven, new earth, we don't know. Isn't it true? We do not know what will become of that age when the eighth day comes in. As we say, the only answer is in the book of Revelation chapter 23, which was not even written yet. Right? You see? So what God requires to know is already here in the Bible. So we just keep ourselves in this period of time, or in the period of time that God has allocated that to us for us to see. Now, so now, we know that it is masculine and feminine. Because God said in the book of the book of Genesis, said that God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Male and female create them. Now, the Bible mentioned male and female. Not female, male. Male and female. A male is always placed first. It's the positive and the negative. And you know what positive and negative is like? How many of you ever played electricity? Huh? You know, when I was young, that back there's this, I've been shocked by electric shock before, you know, trying to screw up with this bob light and my accident today, I don't know what happened. I know, I touched it, like somebody slapped my hand, pop over here. Pow! Wow. So what was happening? Then I realized, oh my goodness, I touched the positive light, but fortunately I was on the ladder, you know. So it just got a pump, and it's very painful. So it was quite a sensation. So, but when Brother Tiang, you know, when I get to know Brother Tiang's, the way he deal with electricity, you know, you read about electricity that you need the positive to touch the negative before the electricity passes through, right? So, he said that if you touch the positive and there's no negative touching you, you will not be light up. I mean, I'm still not sure. You know what I mean? As long as you are not earth, the positive ends with you and you will not light up. So, okay, one day I tried. Must be brave. Make sure that I'm well insulated. Huh? And then I touch the positive. You know? And I touch, nothing happened. Now, if you have a negative on the other side, you will have a problem. You will probably fright. Depends on the voltage. You see? So, it's the same thing. God said, He created them, male and female. Now, with this, we understand that already God was showing Himself that He takes male and female parts to form. And yet, God is male and female. And I always said this, how many, I always ask this question, you know, whenever I preach the new place, I ask, how many does it take to produce? We reproduce. Everyone will say two. Male and female. They say two. Man and woman and all these things, right? But actually, it only takes one. Because in God, that we see the male and female attributes in Him. That's why it took only one to reproduce. Even an amoeba, even a one cell animal or plant, right? They can reproduce. When they want to come time to reproduce, they just split. Mitosis takes place. And they split the two to four. You see. That's why you take a sperm cell and a female cell. Sperm cell by itself cannot reproduce. Neither can the egg itself reproduce. That's why they said that chicken egg, if it's not, fertilized, yes. If your female is not fertilized by the male, that egg has no life. Because it's just an egg. Right? You see? So, when you want to have a live egg, that egg must be fertilized. You see? So, we have this positive and negative, and God Himself is that energy. God Himself is that attribute. The very source of life. Male and female must be that. See? So, once an animal like an amoeba, a protozoa, there itself is already the attribute of male or female in it, that they can split and multiply. It's so basic. You see? So, for today, we have people that have claimed. I have seen back in those days, they have this, all this magazine that came out. Oh, there was such and such a woman, don't know what country. She was a virgin and she had conception. Really? Is it possible? Is it possible that a virgin by herself can reproduce, can get conception? What is the positive attributes? You know. Like today we have this fake news that going around. They discover the bone of Goliath, the giants, and they show picture in YouTube. And they're all fake. People are buying as if news. You know, we have all these Christian people, they want to sensation. Maybe they don't realize they're claiming fake news. But maybe they're trying to win soul to prove to the people that the Bible is true. So they come up with all that. Oh. But there's a lot of lies in them. But when you tell me, well, there was one case that I know of a man who was swallowed by a whale. I don't know, I don't remember, but there was a photograph taken, and it was reported that her skin was bleach white because he was in the stomach of the whale. I don't know how long it was, and he survived. But they caught the whale, they killed the whale, not knowing that there was a man in the belly of the whale, and then they brought him out, and he was, of course, almost unconscious, almost dead, and the skin was bleach white because of the acid in the stomach. I don't know how Jonah survived. You know, I don't know whether he became Snow White or not. I have no idea. But that man was patches of white skin because of the acid. Oh, that is possible. That one I know to be possible. You see. Well, so now, it takes the masculine and the feminine to be able to produce. And we know that God Himself, being a spirit, is male or female, and Adam was both male or female, being that he was in the image of God, and then he was made, of course, in flesh. Now, when Adam was created, of course there was loneliness. He was just a single being, but he was male or female. Now we understand that, of course, he could not be. If he was talking to the Lord God, definitely his voice wasn't sounding like a sissified man, right? Couldn't be, you see. But as we know in the Bible, God said it's not good for man to be alone, so God created him a body. And the Bible said, when, you know, in the creation of God, the Bible said that the creation of God was very good. But it wasn't perfect. Very good means it doesn't come to the states of perfection. It was good. It was very good. God showed everything He was created was very good. Yes. Do you know that in the day when God created the heavens and the earth, there was only one place called Eden. And there was a place called the Garden of Eden. The whole earth was not Eden. The whole earth was not Eden. Remember. So what about the other part of the earth? What does it look like? If there is no one to take care of the earth, what will happen to the earth? It'll be wild. Like a jungle in Amazon. You see. The only in the jungle of Amazon, at least you have the animals, and animals there will, in one sense of the word, take care of the jungle. Huh? That's the reason why, you know, God provided Adam and Eve. If they have not sinned, God would have provided everything that was necessary to take care of the garden or the farm. You have the serpent, right? If the serpent reproduced among themselves, well, Adam would have a big household of servants to take care of the farm and the field. And the serpent would have others animals to deal with them, to take care of their field. Ah, the goats, they are the what you call lawnmower. Cutting, eating the grass, and the sheep eating the grass, everything we've been nicely done. See? And the monkey! They can, whatever it needs to be trimmed up there, you can already trim the trees and everything. Get up, the elephant will get up all the waste that was on the ground and deposit somewhere else. You see? So in the future, in the new home, new earth, will be something like that. Wonderful places where any animal roams and will be part of God's what do you call sanitation department. You know, everything will be well taken care of. You know, the early, the male, natural man or woman on the earth, in the new heavenly earth, yeah, of course, they will have their job to do as well. But that's in the future. So now, what Eve did, of course, wasn't nice. The polygamous act of Eve was against the word of God. But when the Bible, when God judged the serpent between your seed and her seed, then we realized that that seed that came from a woman was Mary. And Eve was acting against the word of God, but a polygamous act. But Mary was obedient to the Lord. Was faithful to the word. Huh? So as the Lord said to her, he said, be unto me. You know. If he said, I will carry the child, I will carry the Savior. If he said so, let it be. You know. So there was this, the opposite. And let's go to one place. Before I close, Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. Brother Henry.
Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loveth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord and that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and shall be come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Amen. So now you see this, when this was a time, when the children of Israel were out there murmuring against Moses, murmuring against God, God was so upset with them. So he sent fiery snakes into the camp of Israel. Oh no, the Bible says fiery serpent. Now what fiery means that when it bites you, you have this burning sensation because of the toxin. Alright, it burns. But some people, you know, there are all kinds of snakes today, but some snake when it bites you, in a few hours, or just a few minutes, you die. But some of them would not. You would drag on for a day or two because that toxin will burn your legs and you will turn red and very painful. So this was God, what God did. And because of that, the people then cried out to Moses, please tell God to pray to God for us to remove this. So Moses hugged them to them and asked the Lord to forgive them. So God told him to make a pole and put a brazen serpent on it. That whoever look upon it will be healed. Now those, that symbol, that brazen serpent on the pole represents sin. By in itself, it's sin. Means, now the word sin in the Hebrew word, the way they use it, has two meanings. Sin as sin often. Jesus was made sin for us. Means that Jesus was make a sin offering for us, right? They make a sin for us, that is to say that as a sin offering, the offering is sin. You understand? It carries sins. So that Jesus was upon the cross, he was a sin offering. Do you understand that? Huh? He was the one who made sin for us. He was the one who carried the sin for us. So sin was at the Calvary. That was the cross that was lifted up. Sin was with her, and whoever looked upon him, as Jesus said, whosoever will come unto me. Right? If I've been lifted up, I'll bring all men to the Lord, right? What was the actual verse? If I've been lifted up, I will draw all men to myself.
Yes.
You see? So you need to look up. So the children of Israel looked up, and they are poisons. Start to go away and God healed them. So when we look to Jesus Christ, that is when our sins, which is poisonous, it is eating into our life, is removed for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is important for us to understand. You see. And of course, even the Bible has shown all that thing regarding what God did to Israel with this symbol, all this. You know, Satan had all the time been watching what God was doing. Now, the Satan doesn't know what God was doing, but he Every time God do something, he observed and tried to thwart the plan of God. Do you see what I'm saying? So now he seen all that God did through the Old Testament, and when the Old Testament was written, what the prophet said, he read them, he studied them, obviously. Of course, Satan knows them. When I say that, Satan knows what I'm saying. And then what happened now? When the day when Jesus Christ came to the earth, Satan was trying to, well, he knew that because the angel declared that this was to be the Messiah, the Savior, born in Bethlehem, right? Yeah. So what do you do? Of course, Satan went and visited the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger there. Huh? And oh, here comes the three wise men, or two wise men, how many wise men? What the Bible would never tell us. You know, and they were asking, where was Jesus? And now, he created all this fear in Herod. And Herod asked the wise men, if you find Jesus, let us know. Right? Because he seeks to destroy. But God, the angel was sent to take the wise men to another place, and then God told Joseph and Mary to go down to Egypt for a while, because Herod was seeking to kill him. So every time when Joe was performing something and all that, for 30 years, you know, Joe didn't grow up, nothing was said, nothing. So Satan was just quiet. As long as God don't move, he don't move. But now, when Jesus Christ was baptized, and he saw what Jesus Christ was doing, and now he gets the Pharisees and Sadducees to try to kill him. And watch the serpent, the trail. Right? The Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to kill Jesus, right? They seek him to destroy him. They paid witness to tell lies. Now, just how powerful religion can be. Religious people are very dangerous. I hope you are not religious. Religious people are very, very dangerous. They are men in the head. Because it's an ideology of theirs, and they feel that it is true. We must kill. And that's what's going on out there in the world, in every country. And sadly, we see that in India today. Huh? And so, what happened then? Well, they want to kill Jesus. Good. They want to do it. That's why they said, we're going to kill him. So finally they got what they wanted. So Jesus was arrested. Right? Yes. But Pontius Pilate, he said, well, I found no fault in him. Correct? You go and crucify him. But the people yelled more. Crucify him. He washed his hand. Okay, let me present you Barabbas and Jesus. Who do you want? You have to release the prisoner. Right. We want Barabbas, crucify Christ. Well, you know, Barabbas said, well, I know it's a fair game. The judgment belongs to them. So the Pharisees were very happy. The devil was singing and dancing in their own health palace or whatever you want to call it. So Jesus was led to the Praetorium, whipped and everything. Oh, the devil rejoiced. All the wicked are rejoicing. They're all happy. Then when he went to the cross, yeah, nailed him to the cross. Oh my, they rejoiced and rejoiced. All the little demon was all dancing and worshipping Lucifer or Satan, and Satan was so happy. Yeah, we got him. But the moment when the cross was lifted up, right, Satan realized he made the biggest boo-boo in his life. The biggest mistake he made. He realized that if I be lifted up, I draw men to myself. That was what Christ said. And he also remember that Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the dust, in the wilderness, took away the poisons of the serpent. Wow! So, you know, when Satan realized that, and all these people were jumping, all these little demons were jumping and shouting, and he said, shut up! We're lost! You've got to do something now! What do you know? He told me the Son of God come down from the cross. Right? Remember? We think Christ will come down from the cross. He told me the Son of God come down from the cross. But of course, Christ did not. He gave his life. And that's when after he was buried, his spirit went down to Sue. The king is coming. He came right down. And he snatched the key, from Satan's hand. And unlocked all the doors, the prison bar of all the righteous sins. And what did he, the Bible said? He lifted up, and when he ascended to heaven, he set captivity free. Captive to himself. Those that Satan had hold them in prison bar, he let them loose, and they become his prisoner. As Paul said, I was a prisoner, I'm a prisoner of Christ. So he went up, ascended up on high. And as Satan did his last move, when Christ began to ascend up, he roared to Christ to try to snatch him. Christ looked down and gave him a kick on the head. That's what the Bible tells us in drama of a sort. Remember, as what the Bible said, God said to the serpent, as her seed will bruise your head, and you will bruise only his heel. As the Christ ascended, he started to snatch at Christ, so he just scratches his leg, foot, and Christ gives him a kick on the head, and he's bruised. So Christ had a victory, but Satan is not dead yet. He's still alive, only he got a big headache. And he's still fighting. The best know how to fight. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace, and thank you for thy word, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ, Father, that you send to be our Savior and to be our King and our Lord in this life. Thank you, Father, for thy holy word. Your grace that you've given us to see in this generation. How beautiful, Lord, are thy word of life, and so displayed in thy holy word from Genesis to Revelation. When it's unfolded to us, Father, we see your plan, your will, your purpose for your people. And we are thankful, Father. So, Lord, bless the rest of the day, and that we continue, Father, truly to walk with you and love you. And, Father, if we truly, Lord, love you, help us, Lord, Father, to display the life of Jesus Christ in us, that we will be worthy of the gospel of Jesus, that man will see us as true believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we are your children. Help us, Father. Bless us then. Commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.